Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, I'm an avid reader of the morning paper. Maybe that's an indication of my own, a man of my own generation, but I read the morning paper. After an hour of prayer over the Gospels of the day, then I have a chance to sit down with a cup of coffee, and I inevitably spend a little more time than I should. But I can do that in retirement, so it's fine. But I go through it rather carefully, and I linger over it. I've noticed with increasing frequency these large half-page or sometimes even full-page ads for hearing aids, for various devices, the last thing, the most recent, newest procedure that's going to be very effective. I haven't seen those ads the same way before. Now, maybe it's because my own hearing has become somewhat troublesome, and so I pay attention to the ads that address the problem I experience. It just seems like there are more of them. Scientists tell us that men tend to lose the upper range of hearing as we age, and women tend to lose the lower range as they age. And so that helps explain why older couples get along so well. I mean, they can't hear each other, and they just smile and say, "Yes, dear," and then keep on doing what they were going to do anyway. But it's an interesting little phenomenon as the median age becomes richer and richer, longer and longer. I know how much effort I have to put into making sure that I hear correctly so I don't say something really dumb or way out of heaven somewhere. And every so often I do have to say, because the first word isn't clear or the verb isn't clear or the last phrase isn't clear, I say, would you just say that again? It isn't the whole thing I need to hear. It's just one word. But as always, because I want to be sure, I don't say something really uncharacteristically stupid. I worry, maybe that's another indication of someone my age, but I worry that it's okay. I worry that the younger generation, walk around with the buds in their ear all the time. And I don't know how loud the music is, but I have a prejudice that suspects it's kind of loud music, which then leads me to worry that that's going to have a negative effect on their hearing ability as they age. It's a phenomenon all around us. But the real issue, all of these things come to mind because of this gospel. The gospel story, the poor fellow who couldn't either hear well or speak correctly. And the story has authenticity because we say what we hear. Little kids imitate what their parents say, much to the embarrassment at times to parents. But they imitate what they hear. And that's why sometimes children, little children, are three or four before the family realizes that they have hearing problems. They speak with a certain accent or with certain cadence, but they speak what they hear. And if they don't hear correctly as little kids, then that's precisely what they say. The gospel story about healing the deaf is about more than just physical hearing. The great prayer of Judaism, the Shema from Deuteronomy 6, which devout Jewish people say several times every day. It says, "Shema Israel, hear, O Israel, there's only one God, and you shall love him with all your mind, heart, and soul." But they say it several times. The main verb is hear, listen. Jeremiah chapter 7 becomes very angry in his temple speech. And at a certain point, it's verses 21, 22, 23, Jeremiah says, in the name of God to the people in the temple, I didn't ask you to offer sacrifice. I just said, listen to my voice. I said, listen. And the great account of the transfiguration of Jesus, when three disciples go up the mountain and see this remarkable apparition, if you will, the revelation of who Jesus really is, and then the voice of God says to them out of the heavens, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. Listen to him. I may have said this before in this context, but it comes back again, and very appropriately, I think. In Hebrew, there is no word for obey. There is no word in Hebrew for obey. It's listen. The presumption being that when you really listen to someone else, then you're changed in the process. They don't have a word for obey. So anytime we hear the word hear, we should hear obey. Pay attention. You know, parents, exasperated parents say, listen to me. And the teenager, daughter or son, says, yeah, I hear you. Well, those are two different things, as we know from experience. Those are two very different things. So we come back to this wonderful story about God healing the person who was deaf and needed to hear. An older ritual for baptism, and anyone in this congregation, either by radio or here, who was baptized more than 40 years ago would have experienced it, whether they knew it, whether we knew it or not. Included in baptism, the minister, the priest who was doing the baptizing, touching the ear and saying, Ephata, be opened, as part of the baptismal ritual. So that the candidate for baptism is invited to listen very carefully, not just at that moment, because if they're children, you know, babies, it's a whole lifelong process of paying attention and listening. And we know that experience enables us to hear new things we didn't hear before. We know that every new situation we find ourselves in demands that we listen carefully. And this is lifelong. It's not like coming down from in an airplane flight where you're gradually approaching the runway at the end of the flight and suddenly your ears pop. It's not a once occurring event where suddenly you hear. It may happen that way, but it's lifelong. It goes all the way through. Maybe we should have an annual blessing of the ears like we have an annual blessing of throats. A prayer for each one of us that we hear what we need to hear. I love to make reference to the Native American community, attending their meetings. Their meetings are very long. They go on forever. But the point is that they listen very carefully. And I know I've said this here from this pulpit before, but it's appropriate now. It would be considered very impolite to respond immediately to something that was just said. It would be very impolite. Because it would suggest you didn't listen. And the presumption is that when someone says something, there is at least a minute or 2 minutes of silence where everyone in the meeting thinks about what they heard or thought they heard and then responds to that more carefully. Busy Westerners, we talk quickly. We don't listen very well. There's a popular song at liturgies that has the refrain, "The Lord hears the cry of the poor. Blessed be the Lord." The Lord hears the cry of the poor. Blessed be the Lord. So the better we hear, the more carefully we listen, the more carefully we listen to what's really being said between the lines, and what is not being said, either because it shouldn't be said or because it should be said, The better we learn how to listen, the more we become like God. Jesus, they said, at the end of the gospel, has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. It struck me this morning, before I came over, that saints are people who hear everything. They even hear God. And that's what we're called to do, to listen carefully.